So welcome to Oak River. I'm Sandy Phillips, the pastor here. One of the pastors, I should say, because we have several ministers who help me out. And I'm so grateful for every person here. And we get the opportunity to welcome some new members today. So that's always fun. So I would like to invite John and Rebecca. Now, is it Berkus or Berks? Berkus. You guys come on up. Yeah. And Alma Solis. Solis. Okay, Alma, come on up. Yeah, we give it up for Alma. Yeah, they went through the membership class last week. We had so much fun, didn't we? It was a good time. And if you've been at Oak River for a long time and you would just like to get a renewal, refresher course, honestly, every time I teach it, I feel like it is so good as a reminder of why we do what we do at Oak River. And Alma's been with us for quite a while, but she went through the class and she was like, I'm so glad I came. It's just good stuff. So next time, we offer it like twice, three times a year, something in there. So just keep on the lookout for it. It's called River Life. But these guys went through it and they said, yeah, we're in. And I'm like, yeah. So I just want to welcome them to the family. And if you could stretch your arms towards them, we're going to pray over them. God, I thank you for the Berkuses and for Alma. I thank you for adding to our church family so beautifully, that you bring just who is needed in our family, and that we embrace them fully, and we bless them. Lord, we bless them, and we ask you to show them how they can add to the family, and maybe what they need from the family too. And I just thank you for them. We pray a blessing over them. And we honor them and we honor you for adding them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Don't go anywhere. Blessings. Okay. Just wanted to get a hug in. Wow. Now, if you don't know them yet, get to know them. It's that simple. Maybe meet them after church someday and say, hey, let's go to lunch or whatever. Meet them, go to a movie, whatever. Whatever you want to do to get to know them. Just take some time to spend some time with them. It's good. I also want to share something with you that's family-oriented. And it's hard to share, you know. This is fun. What I'm about to say is hard. It's hard to share, but it's important. And so many of you know we celebrated Alive Day for Colin last week, and that was really fun. But he ended up going to the emergency room on Wednesday because he was starting to show some symptoms that were concerning, okay? And I can't look at Gabby right now. Sorry, Gabby, I can't look at you. And so they ran some tests. And the bottom line is they discovered on Thursday that he has a sickness in his blood called leukemia. And, okay, that seems like a big, scary word. But God is bigger all the time. For the kids who are in the room, what that means is, because it's family worship day, it means that there's parts of his blood that are not working right and parts of his blood that are working overworking. So they're going to give him lots of medicine to help him beat this. And the good news is the kind that he has a 98% success rate. Yeah? That's good. The difficult part is they are in for a very long, hard battle, probably about 2.5 to 3 year battle, okay? Especially the next 6 months. And so it's tough. We've cried a lot. We've gotten angry some. We've cried out to God. We've worshiped. And we've done all that multiple times. This morning, I went to pick up my purse, and the strap got stuck, and I was like, ugh! And it wasn't about the purse. You understand. It was about the anger and the frustration at what Colin and his family are facing. But it's so interesting. God doesn't, he plans everything, you know. I planned what I was going to speak on weeks ago. You guys have seen the name of the message, Let's Sit on the Porch. Come away with me, let's sit on the porch, weeks ago. And so when I was sharing with Dave on Friday about the news about Colin, he said, oh, and we talked it through some. And then he said, well, what are you preaching on Sunday? And I said, well, let's sit on the porch. And he said, that's so interesting. And I said, why? And he said, because as I've fought my battle with lung cancer, he said, I have found my porch to be the place where I get the most strength and the most healing. I'm like, wow. You know, and he says, it's not only where I go and I meet God, but it's also where other people come and they just pour their strength into me as we sit on the porch together. And so I just think it's not an accident that I was going to be speaking on that today. But I do want us to pray. I want you to be careful, because in situations like this in a church family, sometimes like everybody rushes to the situation immediately, and then 3 months later, it's crickets. We don't want to do that. This is a marathon, okay? We're going to walk through this with you, and it's a marathon. But we're not going to do it for a week and then forget you. We're going to stay with you, okay? And so I would encourage you to make a reminder in your phone if you need to, 4 weeks from now, or 6 weeks from now, or 8 weeks from now. Send a note to Colin, you know, like find some way. If you know Colin, you know he doesn't like a lot of attention drawn to him. We are hopeful that once the treatment is, now that the treatment has started, he may be able to come home as soon as Wednesday, and then he'll do some outpatient stuff over the next while, 6 months at least and beyond. But if he walks through the door, the worst thing we could do is rush over to him and go, oh, Colin, I'm so sorry. No. That would be really bad. So telling you not what not to do? If you have a question, if you feel like maybe you'd like to do something specific, can I let them run it by you first, Gabby? Because Gabby knows her brother really well. So just say, Gabby, I'm kind of thinking I want to do this. What do you think? Do you think Colin would like that? Do you think that would be good for Colin? Ask Nikki if you ask any of them. But you know, just have some grace on you and some mercy. And don't say or do anything until you get God's heart over the situation. That's what I ask of you. We believe in healing 100%. We believe in healing, whether it comes through the medicine the doctors are giving him or a supernatural touch. We believe in healing. We believe that God is still bigger than any disease. This morning, I was so exhausted because it's been a rough few days, hasn't it? I was so exhausted. I turned to Stephanie and I'm like, I am really exhausted. And she goes, I know. She said, you got to take tomorrow off. I go, well, you know, honestly, I don't feel exhausted now. Honestly, I don't. I feel good. Why? Because of worship. Worship changes everything. So I do want to just stretch our hands towards Gabby, Colin's sister. And the good news is also he got his first treatment yesterday and his body responded really well to it. Last I heard it this morning, he was having an ice cream sandwich for breakfast. Cha-ching. So that's a good thing, right? But let's stretch your hands towards Gabby. God, we thank you that Colin and his family have a strong faith in you, that you've given them a stance of worship in this circumstance. And I am so thankful for that. But God, we don't deny the painful reality of what they're facing either. And so we ask you to meet them in every moment, whether they're in a moment of grief or in a moment of anger or in a moment of worship or in a moment of thanksgiving, that you will meet them in every single moment. that you will bring healing to Colin's body. We celebrate right now the fact that his body has already responded well to the first major treatment yesterday. We thank you for that and we celebrate it. We thank you for Akron Children's Hospital, where good people are there who have trained and who've learned a good skill to help Colin. And so we just pray a blessing over them and every nurse and every doctor and every child life specialist, even the orderlies, every single person who will come into contact with Colin and his family will feel your peace and your goodness just flowing out of him and his room. And we pray that you would give us wisdom for the next few years as they walk through this, that you will help us to know how to be a blessing to them and how to love them well through all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are deeply loved. Deeply loved. Deeply loved. So, when I was a little girl, I had the honor of growing up right next door to my grandparents. Right? It was the best. It was the best because anytime, I was only, you know, from 2 weeks old till 9 years old is when I lived next to my grandparents. But anytime I got frustrated with my parents or my siblings or the neighbors, I would go to my grandparents. It was like my little safety refuge place, you know? It was the best. And they had a porch. That's why we have these chairs up here. I wanted two rocking chairs because there were two on their porch, but I didn't dare take one from Baby Bay. That would not be nice, right? Because there's little kids in there today, so we left them back there. But there were two rocking chairs on their porch, and there were some straight back chairs. And it was my favorite place to go. And I felt like as I was preparing the final message for Come Away With Me, that we hear God saying to us, whispering to us, come away with me. I felt like, let's sit on the porch was where he wanted me to go with this week. Let's sit on the porch. Because on my grandparents' porch, let me tell you what it wasn't first. Let me tell you what it wasn't. First of all, there was no agenda on the porch. There was no agenda. It wasn't like never once in my 9 years of living next door to them did my grandmother say, Sandy, we need to go out on the porch because I have something I need to talk to you about. Never. There was no agenda. It was like, come sit on the porch. Hang out. It was never discipline. You're in trouble. You did something wrong, so let's go to the porch. No. There were other places for that, but not the porch. It was never a place of giving knowledge. It wasn't like, bring your notebooks, honey, because Papa and Grandma have some things they need to say to you, and you need to write these down, knowledge for living. It wasn't like that. Did I learn on the porch? You betcha. You betcha, but it wasn't about knowledge. The last thing it wasn't about assignment. Never did I get taken out to the porch and be given a list of to-do of my chores. Here's what you need to do, honey. Da, 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 da. Never. The porch was not about that. Why do I say that? Because many of us, we come to God and we assume that there's always an agenda or discipline or knowledge or assignment involved. Now listen, if God comes to me and says, I have an assignment for you, I'm all ears. I want to know his assignment. If he has something he wants to correct in me, I'm all ears. I want to know it. But I don't want to limit my relationship with God to just those things. And I think there is such beauty in sitting on the porch with God. There's such beauty in that. So what is the front porch about? If it's not about agenda, it's not about discipline, it's not about knowledge, and it's not about assignment, what is it about? What is it about? The first point, it's about connection. When I would sit with my grandparents on the front porch, there was something being forged inside that was connecting. You know, it was connecting. It was so funny, though, because of my age at the time, I have these memories that I associate with the front porch. And I started, have you ever had a memory and you questioned if it was real? So I called my mom this week. I'm like, Mom, am I remembering this right? Was there a porch? And she said, yeah, it wasn't a front porch, though. It was a side porch. I go, oh, yeah, I do remember that now. It was on the side of their house, not on the front or the back. It was on the side. And there was a big, huge green apple tree that was above it. It was amazing apples, amazing. But the porch was about connection. That's what it was about. In Psalm 25:1, in the Passion Translation, it says this: Forever I will lift my soul into your presence, Lord. Do you know what the soul is? The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. I told Colin in the hospital on Thursday, I'm like, look, if you're angry, tell God you're angry. It's okay. He can handle it. Because he's been through a lot. Nikki's like, this is not fair. I go, you're right. It isn't. There's nothing fair about it. Most kids don't go through what he's gone through already. And now he's got this too. What? Not fair. But you know what? On the front porch, you get to lift up your mind, your will, and your emotions up to God. When I was on the porch with my grandparents, there was nothing that was off limits. I could say anything that was in my little heart. I could say anything that was in my mind. It was a place of connection because we could share there, mind, will, and emotions. A few verses down, Psalm 25:5 says this: Escort me along the way, take me by the hand and teach me, for you are the God of my increasing salvation. I have wrapped my heart into yours. And listen, in some ways I feel like there are very few people, and I'm still learning, so I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal by all means. It took me a long time to figure out the value of lifting my heart and wrapping it around God's heart. But there's so much value in that. Most of us, we want the agenda. Okay, God, here's my prayer request. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? What's my assignment? Okay, God, teach me. Show me. Show me how I can be smarter in you. I want to be really smart. I want to know your word really, really, really well so I can play Bible trivia and win. You know, like, what? Listen, I love this Bible. I love my Bible. I love his word. But it's more about connection than it is about knowledge. I heard someone say recently, I've heard people say, I'm not a theologian, and I kind of cringe because in Bible college, I learned that a theologian is someone who studies God. We should all be theologians, right? But this person, I think it was Graham Cook, who said, I'm a theologian, I'm a relational theologian. I'm like, yes, that sounds so much better. Because when you hear the word theologian, don't you think stuffed shirt? Like, you just think, stuffed shirt, I don't know. You think, God, you know, like so formal. I don't know. That's what comes to mind. But a relational theologian, that's about connection. That's about connection. What else is the porch about? Point B, the porch is about listening. There were times I would go out on the porch and I would barely say a word, because kind of in the South where when I grew up, there was kind of an unwritten rule that kids, children should be seen and not heard. Did anybody else grow up with that a little bit? And I'm not saying that's the way it should be. I'm just saying that's kind of what it, so sometimes I would just kind of sneak on the porch and I would just sit as quietly as I could. And I would just listen to what the adults were talking about. And sometimes it was about weather, and I was like, oh. But sometimes it would go deeper, and I just listened. And there's a lot of, learning is the wrong word, absorption that takes place in listening. There's a lot that takes place. In Psalm 25:14, it says this, there's a private place reserved for the lovers of God, where they sit near Him. Ah, can't you just see a porch? Where they sit near Him and receive the revelation secrets of His promises. That word promises, another word for that is covenant, which really ties into the previous verse when it talks about increasing salvation. Most of us are taught you're either saved or you're not. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to the other place. H-E double hockey sticks. Right? But when you sit near God on the porch, you get an understanding of how big His salvation is. And the longer I live, the bigger it gets. It just keeps increasing. It keeps increasing. I mean, it just gets bigger and bigger. I feel like He reveals secrets of the covenant to my heart. And I go, oh, I never understood that, and now I get it. And it's not for the purpose of looking smart. It's for the purpose of life and breath and peace and joy growing inside of me. Wow. I love that so much. What else is the... Well, let's do one more verse. Many of you are familiar with this. Some of you may not be. It's where Mary and Martha had Jesus over for dinner. And Mary was going crazy, trying to make sure everything was clean and the food was ready. And that's me probably more often than I wish to admit. I'm kind of task-centered sometimes, and I do that. But Martha was doing that. I got it backwards. Martha was like that, running around, gotta do this. Mary was sitting near Jesus to receive revelation secrets of the covenant. She was just sitting near Jesus. And Martha's like, come on, Jesus, can you tell her to help me? Because there's a lot of stuff to make. And if you want to eat, I need some help. She was looking for an ally. She was looking for someone to support and tell her she was right. And He says to her, Martha, my beloved Martha. I love that He doesn't say, you big dummy, what's wrong with you? What's your problem? I love that. Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled, pulled away by all these many distractions? Are they really that important? Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. I will admit, I get too caught up in the details sometimes. And I hear Jesus whispering over my heart, Sandy, is that really that important? Is it really that important? Just like, can we hang out on the porch for a little while? And it's really funny, because things got all done on the porch too. I remember shucking corn on the porch. Has anyone ever done that with your grandparents? That's so fun. Shucking the corn. But it was never about the corn. It was about connection. It was always about connection. I remember snapping green beans. That's where I learned to snap green beans, on the porch. But it was never about the green beans. It was always about connection. And it wasn't like my grandmother was going, come on, go faster, go faster, go faster. No, it was like snap, talk, snap. It took us forever, but it was the best. Connection. What else is the porch about? Strength and safety. There are these two neighborhood boys. One liked me. I was only like 6 or 7, so I had no clue what that meant. But I just knew every time I would go out of my house, he followed me around and it drove me crazy. I'm like, get away from me, right? Leave me alone, right? I had 3 brothers, but they were unaware at that point for whatever reason. Maybe because I was so young, they didn't think, you know. But there was always one place I could go that the neighbor would never go. The front porch. That was safe. It was a safe place. Another neighborhood kid was the opposite. Maybe he liked me. I don't know, but he was bullying all the time. Not in a bad way, just taunting, you know, saying things and bothering me. Not on the porch. Nope, not on the porch. Grandma would have set him straight. She was a sweet southern steel magnolia in every sense of the word. You don't cross the sweetest lady ever, but you don't cross her when it comes to her grandkids. When you're on the porch with God, it's a place of strength and safety. Psalm 91:1 says, when you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. You are hidden in the strength of God Most High. It's a beautiful thing to sit on the porch with God, where you set aside your agenda. You don't assume he's going to set you straight on something. What's wrong with you? What are you doing? Why do you have to keep doing that? No, you just set all that aside and you just find a way to snuggle into his strength and safety. I told you 2 weeks ago that Graham Cook, one of the things he said was, you need to find your stance in every circumstance. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes my stance has been marching. I mean, I literally felt like God said, it's time for you to put on your marching shoes and march. And I can't tell you how many times I've walked around this sanctuary and worship, most times alone, sometimes with other people, just in spiritual battle. But there are some times when I feel like God just says, hey, come sit on the porch with me. Just that your stance in this battle, your stance in this circumstance is to relax, rest, just rest. And that brings us to our final thing that we're going to mention today that you find on the porch. When my sons played football, when they were in high school, their coach, I loved him. He was a great coach. I think he's still there. He would always talk about the big W. The big W. Every practice. We're going for the big W, boys. Going for the big W. And I'm like, what's the W? What's the big W? I didn't know what he was talking about. And I'm kind of football savvy. I can follow a game and tell you what's happening. I didn't know what the big W is. Win. The big win. We're going for the big win. I'd hear him say it at pregame. I wouldn't hear him say it in the halftime, but they would tell me later he said it. He was always talking about going for the big W. Going for the big W, boys. You know what you find on the porch? The big W. That's what you find. In Psalm 110:1, it says this, Yahweh, by the way, this verse was quoted by Jesus in 3 of the 4 Gospels, so it must have been a big deal. Yahweh said to my Lord, the Messiah, sit, this blows my mind, sit with me as enthroned ruler while I subdue your every enemy. They will bow low before you as I make them a footstool for your feet. Do you get that? Okay, this is what it looks like. maybe I should do this one, but I'm afraid it's going to fall apart. It makes weird noises. When I sit in it, oh, good, we're good. This is it. If you want the big W on the porch, this is what it looks like. This is how I fight my battles. Isn't that weird? That's weird. But it's true. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. So counter. So counter to what we think we should be doing. Because most of us are like, this is how I fight my battles. I think that's good too sometimes. I really do. There have been times I felt like God said, put on your Xena warrior princess outfit because it's time to fight this battle, right? There are other times when he says, come on, girl, let's go to the porch. But the crazy part of this verse to me is that I am sitting with God at the same time God is fighting my battle. Wait, what? Now, we know he's omnipresent. Most of us know he's present everywhere at the same time. But it just kicks it up a notch when he says, come and sit with me while I make your enemies your footstool. Come and sit with me while, you get that? While I fight your battle. Whew. I believe with all my heart, this is the stance God is giving us with Colin, with Jerry, who's at the emergency room right now because he's got some symptoms that he's concerned about, Jerry Babcock. Like, that's our stance right now, right here. This is it. Let it hold again, Lord. This is how I fight my battles. I actually like that creak. It reminds me of my grandmother. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Rest is a weapon. Rest is a weapon. How is that possible? It's possible because of what Jesus did on the cross. He took care of it. He took care of it. Ushers, I'm going to ask you to start serving communion. We're going to have corporate communion at this time. If you are not a member of Oak River, we still want you to take communion with us. We don't have like a special list who's allowed and a special list who's not allowed. We invite all to take communion with us if you would like. If you would prefer not to, then there's no pressure to. Nobody's going to be pointing you out going, oh, did you see she didn't? It's not like that. Totally free. Just hold the elements, and I want to take it all together today. So hold the juice. It is juice, and it's gluten-free, seed-free crackers. So hold the gluten-free, seed-free cracker and the juice until we are ready to take it together. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Thanks. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. Surrender is a beautiful thing. It's the most trusting thing you can do is to surrender. It's saying, Jesus, I trust in what you've did on the what you've done on the cross. When you say you took our sickness, I trust you. When you say you made us whole, I trust you. When you say you took our sin, I trust you. I heard this week Bill Johnson say, the past is not yours. Jesus bought and paid for it. Surrender is trusting that he did. So God, we thank you for this cracker that represents the broken body of Jesus. And we thank you that this is a position that you offer us in battle, to sit on your porch and let you fight. And so we take this bread and we thank you for the healing that's coming into Colin's body. We thank you for the healing that's coming into Jerry's body and anyone else who's sick among us. The healing that's coming in even as we have this bread together. Based on what Jesus did. Based on what he paid for. Amen. Let's take the bread together. And God, we thank you for this juice that represents the purest blood. The blood that has no sickness in it. The blood where all the cells are working exactly as they're supposed to work. The blood that made it possible for us to sit on the porch with you. To have a friendship with you. To honor you as our King and yet call you friend at the same time. And so we celebrate your work and what it means to us every moment of every day. In Jesus' name, let's take the juice together. This has not been a normal service, as you have picked up on. If you're a guest, we don't always have these kinds of services. But we are a family, and family meetings look different from time to time, and that's okay. That's okay. I know I heard the news about Colin on Thursday. Gabby and I both did. Several people here that Nikki reached out to did. And so we've had a few days to absorb it, although we haven't, I'm sure. You just heard it, and so it's going to take a little time, and it's okay. It doesn't mean you don't have hope if you cry. It doesn't mean you don't have faith if you get angry. Just ask God to be present with you, whether you're angry or crying or sad or hope-filled. Just ask him to be present with you, and he will. He's done it in my life. He's made himself very clear that he's always with me no matter what I'm feeling, and I don't have to hide my feelings from him. And so we can talk about going forward, how we can best love them through this and how we can best minister to them. But I want you to be filled with hope as you leave today. I want you to be full of hope as you leave today, knowing that God's got this and we together have got this. We've got this. Okay? You good? Next week, we'll start a new series called Going Public. And Dave, of course, had started out with a message called Happy Hour, which I'm so crazy about. I love it so much. So Dave's going to be preaching next week on our first Going Public message. If you signed up to come to the strategy meeting after church today, we'll be at Rusty Bucket at 12:30. If you get there, I have a reservation. The banquet room wasn't available, but we have a reservation under Oak River Church. If you did not sign up and you're like, hey, I think I can go, come. Because some people who signed up, they haven't been able to come, so for whatever reason. So we have some space, and we would love to have you come, and they have extra seats, I'm sure. If we have 25 people show up, they will figure it out, because they're good that way. So we'd love to have you come to that. Is there any other announcement I need to make, Stephanie? Nope, we're good. Okay, have a great week. Don't forget, Heather's in the lobby to meet you if you want to talk about River Kids. Have a great week. Love you guys.